Good morning and welcome to the first ever Do More Ministry podcast, a service of Lifeway Envelope Service. My name is Ben Straub. I call myself the chief broker of opportunity. I get paid to direct our church offering envelope service, but my heart and passion is local church ministry. I get to work with pastors and church leaders all over the country to evaluate and implement comprehensive giving strategies to ensure fully funded budgets and long-term sustainable ministries. Bottom line, I'm working to change the conversation from what do we have to cut to survive to what does God want us to do next. This is based on the principle or assumption that more money really does mean more ministry. And this podcast today is an extension of this effort. I want to facilitate a dialogue to equip pastors to be the spiritual leaders even in the midst of economic instability. I can tell you that each of the individuals that are a part of this conversation today have committed themselves to the work of the church and the fulfillment of the Great Commission. They are all very busy, and I greatly and deeply appreciate them giving their time to participate in this conversation. On the line with us, we have Joe Sangle from New Spring Church in South Carolina, and he's the pastor of financial planning and counseling. Joe, just tell us, everyone in the room here, just a real 30-second commercial on what you do.
I educate people on what God's Word says about how to manage money, and so I teach about two times a year here at New Spring on Sunday services, and then I teach classes on finances and provide one-on-one counseling to about 500 people a year in our community and through the church.
Right on. And Joe actually has written a book called I Was Broke, Now I'm Not.
That's right.
That's pretty good. I need a copy of that.
Okay, I'll send you one, Ben.
Cool. Patrick is with the National Christian Foundation, which I believe was started by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue, that crowd?
That's correct. We actually exist to serve givers, which then turn around and give grants to ministries, churches, and those kind of things. So we're really very giver-centric, I think.
Fantastic. Patrick's actual title is Vice President of Strategic Partners and Church Services. I found Patrick on a webinar with Church Solutions with he and Jim Shepherd from Generis, when they were answering the question how can churches deal with the struggling times, and he and I have connected through Twitter and some of those other things, and he's got a really cool blog site, g4daily.com, is that right?
Actually, I changed the name to generousnews.org.
Generousnews.org.
I'm all about changes today.
That's right. That's right. And he's also somebody who gets quoted all the time in all the national newspapers. If anybody wants to know anything about church giving or the economy, they call Patrick. So I'm glad that he's with us today. In the room, guys that are on the phone in the room, I have Brett Robb with me, who is the Director of Leadership and Adult Publishing. He's over also an area called Church Consulting, and so I brought him here not only as a practitioner, along with a few others that are on the call, but also as someone who works directly with providing resources to churches and church leaders in our Southern Baptist constituency. And so thanks, Brett, for being here. Why don't you give us a little 30-second blur about what you do?
The stuff in my department is from college up, and I've also, before I came here, I pastored for 23 years, and I'm still preaching every Sunday somewhere, so I've got the heart of the pastor.
23 years.
Yep.
That's about as long as I've been alive.
Yeah, well, Ben, you're that's strike two for you.
And then finally I have Ashley Clayton in the room. And Ashley he knows everybody who's anybody in Southern Baptist circles. He's actually with the executive committee and takes on the responsibility of stewardship for the convention. And it's just a guy that he and I have gotten to work together on multiple occasions, multiple projects. Always enjoy the time when he's in town, which is less than the time that he is out of town.
That's true.
But he's really leading the initiative within the convention, based on a partnership with Crown Financial Ministries called It's a New Day for Financial Freedom. And that really resonates, I'm sure, with you, Joe, and what you're doing, but taking the same strategy of if we can help our churches provide an alternative perspective for their members on finances and giving, we not only can change our churches, but we can change individual lives and use that as bridge points to the lost world. Our first area is based in the reality that the current state of our economy is not as strong as we'd like it to be. But I guess the question that needs to be answered is it really as bad as everyone says it is?
Good question. Ashley Clayton. Ben, you and I have had a lot of discussion about what's taking place inside our churches. My experience tells me that while this is a major theme in the hearts and the lives of the people in our churches, it's discussed, very little. Pastors are not talking about it. There's not much conversation, very little programming that's taking place about money, but I would contend that it's the number one thing that's on the hearts of the people that are sitting in the pews.
Yeah, this is Patrick, especially right now. I mean, we're seeing it so much in the news and in the media. I mean, I look at when you say, is it really as bad as everyone says it is? I think from, if you look at it from an economic perspective, it is bad right now. We're experiencing things we've never experienced with the credit unwinding and the markets. If you go inside the church, I'm hearing it all over the board. I hear some churches are actually ahead this year so far as giving and generosity goes. Some are behind. So I think it's a mixed bag in the church. But I tell you, the one thing I hear from a lot of people is a lot of fear right now. There's just a lot of fear out there, and I think the church can really push into that with God's principles during this time.
Right, and this is Joe Sangle at New Spring Church, and I absolutely say that fear is the big deal, that people they're really fearful of what's next and what's happening. And I keep coming back to the fact that God is not the author of fear and that he's the author of peace. And that what we're seeing going on in Wall Street and what all these people are saying is absolutely not of God. It's absolutely a result of fear. And so I think we have a prime opportunity in the church to be able to reach our community and say, we have the solution. God's word and his principles are absolutely clear. They're unchanging, and they absolutely apply to personal finances as well as church finances. And we have an answer for people.
Yeah, I think that's great to think in terms of, this is Brett, this is an opportunity to minister. The pastor at this point, knowing how his people feel, making sure that the people know that he's feeling some of the same pressures they are economically, and that the stress is equal, and it's not something that the pastor ignores. And if people are afraid, it's a tremendous opportunity to show how God's word can really bring stability into a person's life, and that trusting the wrong thing, which is, of course, the things of this world, and not trusting God completely is the wrong move. And sometimes we get off caliber of that. We need to recalibrate. And so this is a chance to really talk and encourage your people to respond to God in a special way.
Ben, when I have a room full of pastors, as I often do across the convention, across the country, I generally will ask the question, would you agree with me that the people in the pews, Sunday in and Sunday out, in your church, are struggling with paying their bills? Are they struggling with uncertainty about, their job, the stability of their job? Are they struggling to invest in their future? Are they struggling to pay their taxes? Are they struggling to give? Almost without exception, the pastors are nodding their heads by the time I get to that list. And the whole world is already awakened to this. I mean, evidenced the syndicated programming on television, radio. You go in any Barnes & Noble and look at the bookshelves, the books on the shelves under finance. The rest of the world is already awakened to this, and yet the pastors in our churches are reluctant or tentative about having a conversation about money. One of your colleagues, Ben, Ed Stetzer, here at Lifeway, lifewayresearch.com. Ed Stetzer says, this might be the best cultural bridge churches have today. You hang out a shingle at your church that says, get out of debt here and see if people don't line up around your building. There has never been a better opportunity for pastors to begin to talk about money and offer solutions than right now. And the headlines of the last few weeks and last few months drive that point home, as far as I'm concerned.
And this is Joe Sangle here. I totally agree. I look at the church, and usually the church's finest hour is in periods of time where there is no hope, in times of desperation. And this is absolutely the opportunity for the church to just be able to provide real, tangible, relevant, and practical financial help for people. And when I look at the example of Jesus, you know, he really met people where they were with physical needs and real needs. You know, the blind man, he made him see, the lame man, he made him walk, and the dead man, you know, I suspect that's a pretty big physical problem. And he made him raise up. And if you reach people with the real, tangible need of financial help with the church, and they say, wow, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower servant to the lender, that is genius. Where'd that come from? God's word. And we can keep pointing them back to just scripture after scripture of sound financial management principles. And when they apply it to their finances, it helps them win, it helps them give, helps them save, and changes their life.
Yeah, this is Patrick. I would say one caveat on that, though, and I think we have a great opportunity as church leaders to really evaluate, has our church corporately been influenced by our consumer culture? You know, when I look out there and see the debt that churches are carrying on buildings and things like this, and I know this is a hard subject. I mean, I think this is an opportunity to really step back corporately and say, you know, have we fallen into the trap? And this is an opportunity, I would say, to really look and see if we have, how can we get out of it? And what can we do from a corporate perspective? Because the bottom line is, we're going to be ministering to people who are upside down, but I'm seeing a lot of churches who have overextended as well. And I think this is an opportunity to get creative about ministry. The bottom line is, I'm seeing a lot of churches that were going to do building programs, they're holding those off, and they're looking for alternative ways to achieve the same purposes without those. And I'm not against a building. I just think we need to take a hard look corporately and see if we're following the same path of our people.
You know, several of you have mentioned that fear is something that's very present within churches right now, and just really in the state of what we're reading and hearing about when we talk about the economy and giving. One thing that I noted recently in some of my reading was that we've actually been in a recession 9 times since World War II, which averages out to about once every 6 years. And yet in the midst of that, giving, particularly charitable giving, which most of it still does go through churches, has stayed relatively consistent. Patrick, would you say that's consistent with what you've read as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the reason, I mean, quite frankly, is because I think churches are in a unique position because people see their churches and they go to their churches and they're influenced by their churches more than any other place they give to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so I think that you've got a real opportunity in this time because you're in front of your people. That basically, that's why we see that trend.
Yeah, this is Brett. What I notice as a pastor for 23 years is when the times start getting tough, people start asking the question, okay, what do I need to fix? And so it gives us a chance to put God's word into that parameter where they are starting to fix things. And you know, a lot of people get comfortable. They start spending on things that are way out of bounds, and suddenly when things get tough, they start saying, okay, God, what are you trying to tell me here? And so it's a tremendous, tremendous chance for us to show them that God's word, even though it's hard, and even though sometimes it takes a while to get back on track, God's word is right in the first place, and it's right in the last place. And so it's time for us to get our lives in line with what he says.
That's good.
This is Patrick. I can add one more quick thing to that. I think it's an excellent time for people in your congregation to see what you want for them in their area of finances versus what you just want from them. I think a lot of that time, we know there's a lot of tension in the church, and it's because people think, well, you just want my money. You want something from me. Well, man, in this opportunity, we've got an opportunity to show people really what we want for them. We
That's
want
great.
Them to reduce debt. We want them to have margin. We want them to be financially free. We want them to be generous. So
That's
I think
awesome.
It's a great opportunity to really invest in people, and I think you'll see the fruit of that in the future.
I love that thought.
That's a great point. This is Joe Sengel. Just to go on that is, I think it's an amazing fact that you see giving remain consistent, and I think it's because people really recognize that while Wall Street may go up and down, you know, life change and salvations is a wonderful investment that goes for eternity, and it's something that we can hold to. When all else seems to be falling down, we can see the giving is truly an investment into generations ahead of us. And so it just constantly, for me, even individually, helps me keep my faith and trust in my provider instead of my provision. And that's what it's all about.
Excellent ideas. Excellent ideas. For our next area of discussion, I'd like for us to discuss how can pastors deal with feeling underprepared and overwhelmed with the growing sense of fear and anxiety about the next 12 to 18 months?
Hey, Ben, this is Ashley. I want to wade in on that that topic. I think it's on the personal level and it's on the professional level. We're graduating from our six seminaries. We're graduating new pastors going out who, on a personal level, are carrying upwards maybe $25,000, $30,000 of student loan debt and credit card debt. And so on a personal level, they're not equipped to, they may not have a spending plan. They may not have a way out of the debt that they're carrying personally. And then on the professional level, they're not prepared to manage a church and the church finances as well. I think that I think most people would agree this is a really, really soft spot for our seminary training. We've had conversation. The executive committee has had conversation with all six seminaries, and there is a strong interest now to begin offering, crown type seminars and conferences at the seminaries, you know, almost to the point of making it mandatory, particularly for students who are coming in, you know, the incoming students, so that they don't end up like they are. If you've got $25,000 or $30,000 worth of student loan and credit card debt, and you're going to one of those county seat churches like you've talked about, and you may be making $25,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 a year, there is going to be very, very difficult for you to dig yourself out of that hole. So, to me, you've hit on a very, very weak spot in our training for our young leaders.
Hey, this is Patrick. I would say one thing pastors can do is not to try to tackle it alone. I have seen. It is easy to feel underprepared and overwhelmed with the fear and the anxiety. What I would do is find some trusted people in my church who are good in this area and really surround myself and get good counsel and get support. I think these kind of times are best faced with other people you can trust around you. Yeah. Who maybe, if you're not strong in this area, that they can bring some strength to this area to help you lead.
That's an excellent point. This is Joe Sengel. I think... seeking wise counsel is huge, especially for somebody who's feeling unprepared. And when they seek that counsel, they need to seek accountability with that counsel, so that they, if they personally are struggling with finances, that they will be able to walk out of it with accountability. This stuff is hard. And I think that as a pastor gets freed up financially and recognizes how freeing that is in all areas of life, then it helps them have a platform of credibility where they don't feel so uncomfortable speaking about it on Sunday. You know, God's word is very clear on money management, but sometimes when they're not living it or they don't feel like they're living it, they will shy away from speaking about it on Sunday, and that can have huge effects on giving.
Yeah, I would also say, I think you hit an important point. This is Patrick. Is God's word is so clear on this. So one of the things, I know a lot of pastors, and a lot of us, it's human nature that we really don't press into things until we feel the need. And so during the prosperous times when things are going well, this is an area that we don't get a lot of attention on, but now that there's need, as a leader, I would really go to Scripture if you've never looked at it and start looking at what God's Word says about this, because that's going to be your foundation to help make it through these tough times as well, I think.
Let me just add, this is Ashley, another word, maybe a word of encouragement to pastors. Up until 2 years ago, I was a practitioner, you know, on a church staff, have been Christian educator all of my ministry up until I took this denominational post. My wife and I struggled with finances. Unlike a lot of our pastors and church staff, it wasn't because we didn't make a good salary. I always served at very large churches and made a very good salary. The problems that Sharon and I experienced were problems of our own making, poor choices, misplaced priorities. As I was living through that for way too many years, I had to do that under a pretense that things were okay. Back when Sharon and I were struggling through this, to admit that you were having difficulty paying your bills was tantamount to a moral failure. The good news today is our country is plagued by debt. The average American spends $1.26 for every dollar they make, and that doesn't play out well. There's never been a better time for pastors to own up and to say to their church, you know, my wife and I are about to embark on a personal journey of financial freedom, and we want you to go with us. I almost think that it gives an air of authenticity and credibility when a pastor is not afraid to say, these are tough times. We're going to go through this together. We're going to look in God's Word. We're going to find what He says, and we're going to follow His leadership and find a way out of this. There's never been a better time for pastors than right now to set the example, to be a catalyst for change in their church and in their community, to say, we're going to be personally involved in this, and we want you to go with us.
Amen. Love that.
That's awesome.
I want to move us through to, because that's a great platform, Ashley, into our third area of discussion. Leadership always emerges in a group. And if the right leader isn't leading, the potential for the wrong leader to step in increases. And while the wrong leader might be well-intentioned, he or she might risk choking the ministry right out of the church. I can envision the finance committee chairman or the stewardship chairman, the local CPA, the local attorney, who understands that the pastor is theologically trained but doesn't have trust or confidence in his ability to make good financial decisions. And as a result, they end up controlling the pocketbook and saying, Pastor, we need to revise our 2009 ministry plans. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to fund it and continue to survive as a church. And so I guess the question comes down to, what can pastors do today to ensure they are leading their churches instead of being led by them?
You know, that's a decision that comes down. It doesn't matter whether there's a lot of money coming in or there's a little money coming in. You always have those tough decisions as a pastor. This is Brett speaking. And one of the things that I found helpful in my ministry was to make sure that I understood that those dialogues are going to take place. And rather than get frustrated by those dialogues, recognize that they actually provide some healthy interaction. There's always that conflict between we need to do more ministry and we don't have enough money to fund it. There's always more ministry to do than there are funds to fund it. So part of that dialogue helps literally create that budget. And I can't imagine a church not having a budget, but I've run into too many leaders not long because of the frustration of what you just described, that they literally don't abide by the budget or don't create a budget because it's too frustrating for them. I would say right off the bat, your church has to have a budget. You need to go through that dialogue. You need to figure out what ministries are priorities. It forces you to make sure that you interact on those things, and it's healthy to go through that. And so because of some of the pastor's frustration, because of their desire to want to lead and want to, we got to do this ministry, whatever it might be, there's a tendency to pull back from that interaction. And my encouragement to pastors is that really is what creates better ministries in the long run, because it forces you to hone in and get very specific and prioritize and set things straight and make sure that you run a good financial ship in your church. The people respond to that, and they give to that.
This is Joe Sengel. I'll ask a question back to that, Brett, in saying, as you're making those decisions, would you say that having a clear, crystal clear vision from God on where He wants you to lead the church really helps those conversations take place?
You know, you're talking about a vision statement, a mission statement.
Well, I mean, absolutely that. But just, you know, to the core of your soul, being the leader of this church, knowing where He wants you to go next, just and being able to own that, really helps you make clear decisions on what will get funded and what won't.
Well, it's always going to be a higher. Some things are going to get a higher priority based on that inner. This is where God's leading us.
Yeah.
At the same time, you got to be careful that you don't throw that card on the table with every ministry, because the tendency is after a while that you know that card can only be played so many times. So you've got to be very wise and very very discreet, and And that leads you through that prioritization that I talked about that's really kind of healthy. And sometimes people are going to want to cut things that maybe 2 years later, if you know, with a little time behind you, you discover really wasn't that big a deal.
That's good.
All right, our next area of discussion is that the church is consistently criticized by the unchurched as being irrelevant. So how can pastors capitalize on the current situation to build bridges with those in their community who need a new transformational approach to finances, money, and God?
Ben, this is Ashley again. I'll go back to this recurring theme that I seem to have this morning, which is there has never been a better time to talk about money than right now. And back to Stetzer's statement, you know, this might be the best cultural bridge churches have today. If you want to be authentic and if you want to have an impact in your community, why not address what is already first and foremost on the minds of every person in the community? You just to give you another example, churches that have hung out a shingle teaching English as a second language have discovered that families who this is important to them, they run to this church. Hang out a shingle that says, get out of debt here, get your life straight here, you know, learn how to manage the money that you've got. Call it whatever you want. You will find that it will attract people. We use as one of our examples in the convention a church right outside of Atlanta, Patrick. It's Hebron Baptist Church. Dr. Larry Wynn has been there for 25 years as their pastor. Started as a very small rural church, now is one of our large mega churches. He would tell you that the strongest church growth tool that they have used in recent years was when they advertised in the community that they, as a church and as a community, were going to get out of debt. They had more first-time visitors, more new people, and more new families who joined their church, professions of faith, as well as people getting out of debt than they had had in the history of their church. And he would tell you that, beginning with the pastor, who actually went through this himself, that this was one of the greatest tools that he had. So honestly, if I'm a pastor today, I'm looking for a way to be authentic. And frankly, talking about money and offering solutions is a great, great opportunity.
And this is Joe Sengel. I'll absolutely piggyback on that. This is a huge way we can reach our communities. It's a real need. And one thing that, just to offer some practical solutions that I've seen people doing is, you know, there's lots of classes that are out there that are as simple as just press play with FPU, Dave Ramsey's FPU, or Crown's ministry, Good Sense. I have a class, a home group study. But, you know, one thing that I see as being really big is doing community-wide, community-based debt freedom events. I've been a part of them, and I see several other teachers out there on personal finances in the church who are doing debt-free nameofyourcity.com events, like debtfreeatlanta.com, debtfreeackworth.com. All they're doing is saying to the community, they're holding it at community centers or whatever, and they're offering it free of charge to people to come to the class, get practical help, and then they're pointing them to the church. It's a huge way to reach the community.
Yeah, it's great. This is Patrick. I've got two thoughts here. Number one is I think we have an opportunity here with what Ashley said to really redefine what stewardship means in the church. A lot of times when you throw out stewardship, all people think about is giving.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? We have an opportunity say, you know what, the Bible, is stewardship is not just about giving. It's about debt. It's about saving. It's about investing. So you have an opportunity, if you fear talking about this, believe me, everybody's talking about this right now. So I would get up and encourage you to do a series that's holistic. What does the Bible say about debt?
Huge.
What does the Bible say about savings? And that way people, they're not feeling like you want something from them. It's not just about the giving. It's that the Bible speaks to all this. So this is an opportunity to push into it. Second thing I would say there is that I think we have an opportunity to really minister to those people who are hurting right now. I think benevolences, I just heard of a church down in Orlando who is doing weekend, where they'll get a couple of hundred people to come in, they'll work through them with a budget, and then they're actually taking up an offering in the church, and they're not going to tell people this, But if you go and you stick to your budget after a certain time period, they're planning on paying off the debt of some of those people in that class.
That's incredible.
Isn't that great? So you can get
ideas.
You can get creative in this time to really reach out and meet the needs of others.
Yeah, and you know, don't underestimate. I'm putting my Lifeway hat on. This is Brett. You know, there are resources out there to help the pastor learn himself and help the pastor know what to say with authenticity. And, you know, as Ashley already mentioned, to go ahead and say, you know, look, I've gotten off track too. Let's get on track together. I can't imagine the church not responding to that kind of passion.
And I can tell you just in my own personal life, Joe Sengel here, is that there's a day where I tithed, but I blew the rest plus another 5 or 10%, living the average American life. And there was a day where God just very clearly spoke to me from Matthew 25:14-30 in the parable of the talents that he never relinquishes ownership of the other 90%. He expects us to give the full tithe, but he never relinquishes ownership of the other 90%. And he expects us to manage that to the absolute best of our ability. And when we can, you know, that holistic message series where you're saying, hey, in 1 week, well, let's talk about the tithe and the scriptural basis for that. The next week, let's talk about the other 90% and the scriptural basis for that and where we're saying we want something for you. It is incredibly powerful.
If you're looking for a way to get started as a pastor, the resources that Brett has talked about at Lifeway, or whether it's Good Sense or any number of great materials that are out there, Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace University, Crown Financials, 10-Week Studies, or their Journey to True Financial Freedom, great resources that are out there. But pastors, I think it's time for you to begin talking about this from the pulpit. Go to Luke chapter 12. And find where Jesus was drug into a conversation about money. You know, tell my brother to give me what's coming to me. And Jesus makes two very profound statements. One, he says, beware of greed, all kinds of greed. If there's anything that is consistent in our culture, inside the church and outside the church, it's greed. We want what everybody else has. We drive down a street and we want that house. We look at the stoplight, at the car next to us, we want that car. We deserve it and we want it. Beware of greed is a great starting point for conversation about money. And then Jesus makes this other statement in the same passage where he says, a man is not defined by what he's got, by his possessions. That flies in the face of everything that we hear in our American culture. So it's not hard to begin the process and to begin a conversation in our churches.
That's awesome. That's really good, Ashley. That's a great, great conversation, guys. We're going to move us on to our last area of discussion, which is more of a question. If all the pastors in the world were listening, what one thing would you tell them about leading churches through tough economic times? And we'll give each of you a chance to respond to that.
Well, this is Joe Sengel. I'll go first and say, you know, what I would say is you got to preach it. You got to teach on money, teach on it at least 4 times a year. I think the person who's most scared about it and you teaching about money is the pastor, not the people there. And then provide people a practical next step, because many times we'll talk about it, but people will go home confused or wondering, saying, hey, I know I need to do that, but how? And when we provide a practical next step, like a class or one-on-one counseling where people can get help with their own personal situation, that's when true life change can take place when it comes to finances.
I'll wade in. This is Ashley. Something that Patrick said at the beginning of our session is that what we should be talking about is what we have for people instead of what we want from people. Typically, when a pastor talks about money, it's at the first stages of a capital program, or it's about tithing. It's it's the Sunday that's rolled around once a year, and it's time to talk about money again. And the people just sort of groan and roll their eyes. But if a pastor was to say to his people, I have the best news for you. We're going to do this together, as we've talked about before. I mentioned, Ben, that I have I've served at some great churches with great men. I served for 10 years at Bellevue Baptist Church with Adrian Rogers. And that was at a time when Sharon and I were making poor choices, and honestly, we were struggling financially. If at any point Adrian Rogers had said to the people in the church at Bellevue, and again, this is my problems are not his fault, not by in any stretch of the imagination, but had Adrian ever said on a Sunday morning, "Folks, listen to your pastor. Joyce and I are about to start a personal journey of financial freedom, and we want you to go with us." I promise you, Ben, 10,000 people would have followed him. Pastors are in a strategic place, and they have a great platform to have a conversation about what is already on the hearts and minds of every person there. I wonder sometimes how people can worship when they're struggling and laboring under the debt that they're carrying and the uncertainty of the times in which we live. And so I would just say, you have the opportunity, Pastor, to give something valuable, of great value to your people. Seize the opportunity. There's never been a better time to talk about money than right now.
Yeah, this is Brett. I'd echo all that. What a great chance for us not to whip our people, make them, not to just beat them down, but to actually provide solutions. And these three gentlemen have given you as a pastor the opportunity to think through some of the options of how to respond to your people. My encouragement to you as a pastor, it's going to take it's going to take some guts, especially if you've got some issues on personal financial
right.
issues. Maybe the people already know some of that. This is a chance for you to do what you're asking your people to do every single Sunday. You may need to repent over some of the choices you've made, move forward and communicate that to the people, and then challenge them passionately to come with you through that process. And this could be one of the most revolutionary opportunities for you as the leader of that church.
That's great. And I would say, this is Patrick, you know, the thing I think about is God is sovereign. You know, I was reading Ecclesiastes in my devotional, and, you know, Solomon was the richest man who's probably ever walked the face of the earth. He was one of the wisest, and at the end of the day, he said, what do we need to do? We just need to fear God. We need to revere him. And you know what? He's sovereign over the economic situations. He's sovereign over our churches and our lives. So this is just a time to really find your anchor in God's control and sovereignty through this, I think.
Amen. Well, thanks, Brett, Ashley, Joe, and Patrick, for your time and insight. And thanks to Ray Sadler for making the technical details come together. And thank you, Pastor, for listening. Let me leave us with a word from Proverbs and a quick prayer. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about Him in all your ways, and He will guide you on the right paths. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom and guide our steps as we lead our churches through this uncertain time in our nation's history. And in everything that we do, may you be glorified. Amen.
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 Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.